This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to the second hour of SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by San Diego Propane. If you live out in East County, sd-propane.com. Dave and his family, independently owned and operated, only service East County. And we're talking Alpine East, if not a little bit, maybe a little bit inward. But if you're looking for good quality service and really good prices, go to sd-propane.com. 619-460-1705. And if you're looking for good quality automotive service for your vehicles, I've got one shop that has four. That's West Escondido Auto and Trans. You see him at the Chevron station. You see him on the back of the buses. He is everywhere. Go to westautomotivegroup.com for a Napa Auto Care, ASC certified, AAA shop, where your guarantee on your work is guaranteed across the United States. All right, we're going to be here for another hour. We've got Audrey Mason and Ed Stoven from SDORC, which is a group you should join. It's all at $25. I bought breakfast this morning, and it was $26.50, so I could have.
You are a current member.
I know, but I could have done it again.
Yeah.
Instead of had breakfast, lost
a pound
or two.
Could have had a banana, and
or nothing at all.
And a membership.
Oh, yeah. Every penny counts, let me tell you.
Yeah,
that's why we really appreciate you donating this hour to us on the fourth Sunday of the month every month,
it's
Dave.
My total. Awesome. I know, yes. You tried to pay me, so hopefully the wife's not listening. And I refused because how important what SDORC does. And there's other off-road coalitions that work just as hard and all have to deserve the same support.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference, you know, if you're an off-roader, if you own an off-road vehicle, it should be a prerequisite. If you have car insurance, you should belong to SDORC.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
If you're interested
an ATV,
in going out,
well, and it's
a side by side, a $30,000 side by side.
Yeah, and it's a great outlet. It's a great outlet to learn about off roading. If you hook up with these groups, you will learn more about off roading than you could ever imagine. For example, what's that that helicopter service if you get hurt?
Air Reach Medical, and it's Air Med, and it's Reach Air Med, Air Medical, and I am a member myself.
And you get coverage for a year for how much?
$220.
What's an average helicopter flight from Glamis when you're broken?
Okay, well, I can tell you McCain Valley because my uncle has a brain injury. He went out in the morning to McCain Valley. He powered down a Monster Energy drink, and got on his quad and went to go riding in McCain Valley, and was less than a mile into riding, and he had a diabetic episode.
Wow.
And, and he rolled his quad. He
had to be airlifted
out. Aspirated on his own throw up. It took him over 30 minutes to get him where he was okayed enough to get down to where he could be airlifted out from the parking lot area at McCain Valley. The helicopter ride from there to Scripps in Kearney Mesa, where he needed to be taken to, because of his injuries and what he had aspirating his own throw up, where he basically swallowed his own throw up and he was suffocating on it.
You can just stop saying that.
Sorry. But yeah, it was an $80,000 helicopter ride. His medical insurance, he thought, you know, he had really good coverage on medical insurance. It covered $15,000 of that. They got stuck with a $70,000 helicopter bill.
And how much does it cost to join?
And that's not even including the whole
everything else once you got to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, when you
and how much does it cost to join this group a year?
$220.
That's for you and your husband.
That's
right?
For a family household. Anybody in your household, that covers your entire household.
One person, it like 100 and something.
Yeah. And
it's
so,
190. And that, well, the 220 coverage, you can get less coverage. You can get the $85 coverage, and that just gives you emergency services only. But the $220 coverage gets you the fly home. So right. I like to go out and adventure. I go to Idaho Dunes. I go to Utah and go to Moab and San Hollow. I go to Arizona and experience in Arizona. So they're going to fly me to the closest hospital when you're injured, right? And then you get in that hospital. You've been there for a while. Your loved ones have to travel for forever distance. You know, I paid the additional amount. So once I'm taken care of and to a certain point where I can be transferred,
you're stable.
They will then airlift me back to my home hospital at no charge, free. It's included in the service.
Wow.
So that my family doesn't have to pay to travel to see me while I'm in the hospital. They will airlift me back to the hospital of my choice.
And what's the name of that service?
That is AirReach Medical. AirMed. AirReach. Wow. Yeah, Reach Air Medical.
Anybody that doesn't have that, they're playing Russian roulette with their lives and their health.
Yeah, I preach
it. And by the way, my wife's listening.
I like to go out and explore.
My wife's listening.
Oh, Michelle, I owe you dinner.
I know, since I gave away half the advertising.
I
thought for sure she'd be playing with a new putt. We got one
puppy. You choose it, Michelle. You choose. What do you want? You want Brigantine? You name it, girl. I'll take you wherever you want.
Well, we have one little puppy that didn't go home.
Oh,
so
no.
We've got a little 6-7 week old puppy. Her name is Daisy.
Aww,
I want to play with
one
her.
Of she's, the Dachshunds.
She's my new couch potato.
Okay, are you keeping her or?
I don't know what we're doing with it. I just know that
help advertise.
She'll sit right here on. Well, she's got a little bit of a. We're working on a little bit of a eye situation.
Issue.
So we've got on meds. I mean, she can see and everything, but it's got a little bit of a film on it, and so we don't sell dogs that are not 100%.
No.
So, yeah, well, that AirMed thing, man, holy man. When I heard, because I've had quite a few people that go, I mean, because you don't know when you're out there on the dunes what could happen.
Yeah, yeah. This weekend on the dunes was a big weekend. It's ATV Takeover, Glamis, Black Bag Project, American Black Bag Project. They do desert cleanup. So there's a big desert cleanup this weekend going on. They call it the ATV Takeover, and they give you destinations to hit throughout the day. So 2 o'clock is, I believe, everybody meets at the swing set at 2 o'clock, and you clean up as you go along the way. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have a thing there where you can collect it from the Black Bag Project. And then they'll go out and they'll do more, and they'll give you bags and whatever else so that you can
go. The media doesn't cover this.
The media just doesn't know. Nobody knows. I don't know what to say.
I mean, really, when you stop and think about it.
This is the end of the season dunes cleanup that America's Black Bag Project. They just are starting from Glamis Black Bag Project, because the Glamis Black Bag Project is getting so big that Daddy's Famous Foods, Brad and David, they're now starting America's, because they do they travel everywhere. Yeah. You know, Daddy's Famous Foods, they do King of the Hammers food.
Sure.
They go to Moab. They have trailers that they take out and go to all sorts of different events.
But isn't it crazy? They'll talk about something negative, or they'll talk about somebody getting hurt.
Yeah.
But they don't talk about all these groups that spend hours and hours and hours cleaning up after people that are not respecting the desert.
No, I mean, that's what we're all about. We want to keep the desert open so that we have places to go play.
Well, at least the BLM gets it. They gave you a nice letter of commendation.
Yep. We got a letter of agreement with them. They appreciate everything that we do. You know, it shows support. It shows that we're interested in keeping that area open. We'll do anything that we can to maintain it. I did get my coin.
Did you get it from the BLM?
No. I don't know if they have one or not. I'll have to look into that. It's pretty much military. It's military and law enforcement.
How come you won't bring it in? You think I'm going to steal it?
I'll show you. It's in my car. It's in the Jeep. I have three of them. I have four challenge coins with me. I have my FBI challenge coin. I just did a job with the FBI, and they gave me a FBI. I got a challenge coin for them because I impressed them.
I'm gonna have to get you a rack so you can put them on the wall and just, you know, display them.
Yeah, that my brother just got one for turning chief. My sister got him. That was what she
see.
His gift.
Yeah, you can get
them.
I mean,
chief.
I've got mine right at the front door. When you leave my house, all my coins are.
I love it.
Because I love looking at them. I look at them every single day.
I love them, too. Me, too. Every time I open up my wallet, I pull one out.
Yeah. Well, pretty soon, you're going to be limping to one side if you put any more coins in your purse. Yeah, you got to get some more on the other side, too.
They are heavy.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by Bumper Dock Santee. Want to throw a shout out to the boys out there, 8711 Magnolia Street. Go to SanteeBumperDock.com for scratches, dings, and dents, lease returns, window tinting. They're amazing people. They also have the thing called paintless dent repair. Scratches, dings, and dents removed without having to paint your car. And if you have undercarriage issues, San Diego Gear and Axle, Steve is the man. Go to SDGearAxle.com if you want to modify it or if you want to change it up or do a service on it or maybe you got a noise, you don't know what it is. SDORC Dirt Radio will be more SDORC Dirt Radio. San Diego Gear and Axle. It's SDGearAxle.com. There we go. Right here on good old FM 96. All right.
We'll help you with your legislation. AM.
Yes.
So we talked about our Lost Lizard Fun Run, our big fundraiser, yep, and joining our organization for $25 a year.
Yep.
What we do with that money is we give it to our state lobbyist, Kathy Lynch. She helps us with state legislation. People try to pass bills. Some we love and some we don't love. And so she helps us to get the bills that we like to help pass. Sometimes we can get them to pass, and these other bills that we don't like helps us fight them. And sometimes we can kill these bills. So we're active in state legislation. And we have some stuff going on that we'd like to talk about.
Sure.
So our lobby coalition, we have two organizations that lobby with us, the CORVA and ASA. Mm-hmm. We are running our own bill, AB 232. Assemblyman Gallagher is our author. And what this bill does is three states, Utah, Arizona, and Idaho, if you have an off-road vehicle in that state with a California registration, they don't recognize it. Now, normally, states have what they call reciprocity. They recognize the other state's registration. For instance, if you drive your car on the street to Arizona, the Arizona state will recognize California registration. You don't have to buy a license plate from Arizona to drive there. The California is good. But these three states are not respecting California's green stickers. So this bill says that if your state does not recognize our registration, our state does not recognize yours. So this bill went to committee last week. And now bills go to committees. For those of you who don't know what that means, is a bill goes to a committee and it has to get voted on. And if it doesn't pass through the committee, then the bill dies. It can't become a law, it dies. So our bill went to the Assembly Transportation Committee last Monday, and it passed unanimously.
That's huge. That's a big step. That's big for one. It's good for the look of off-roaders in the eyes of the legislators and in the committee that goes through, and then to have it moving forward to the next one. This means for them to pass it and the way that it passed through the assembly too, it's good for us. It looks good for off-roaders as a whole for the state of California.
But if these other three states accept California, then everything is norm.
Right. Yeah. Then this bill doesn't need to exist.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if they choose not to support the California
registration. Which right now they don't. Right now, if you're in your side-by-side, if you're on your dirt bike.
And you got it behind your motorhome and you're going to, Nevada.
You got to go to the ranger station and buy a $20.
People in Arizona love to go to the sand dunes, Imperial Sand Dunes. Mm-hmm. From Phoenix, probably half the people that go to Glamis come from Arizona.
Yep.
So those people are going to have to get a California registration if this bill passes. And what's going to happen then is those people are going to scream bloody murder to their representatives that California is screwing them and this is why. And they're going to pass, they're going to rescind their rule and they're going to go, we're expecting them to go back to recognizing California's and other states' off-road registration. So the purpose of this bill is to get everybody to recognize everybody else and allow us to go off-roading in other places.
So where does it go from here?
So here it goes to Assembly, the money committee, appropriations, which should be, it'll probably be okay. This bill doesn't cost anything. Some bills, you know, they want to create a program. It's going to cost millions and millions of dollars.
That's tougher.
That's a hard sell. This bill doesn't cost anything. It might actually gain us a little bit of money.
Yep.
So we expect it to go through appropriations. It'll then go to the Assembly for a vote. and then it'll go across to the state Senate. It'll go to state Senate Transportation, Senate Appropriations, the Senate for a vote. And if it doesn't get amended, it'll go straight over to the governor. If it gets amended in the Senate, it'll come back to Assembly for what they call concurrence, to make sure it's the same exact language that both houses agree on. So this bill is, we feel pretty good it's going to go. Another bill has come to our attention that didn't bother us when it started. Our lobbyist does a search of all the bills that get introduced. And for the state, we have a bill introduction deadline. It's around February 19th or 20th. Then after that, she finds all the bills that pertain to us. So then the bill AB 1512 didn't bother us. But what happened is bill 1512 was amended. And it was amended, like all the language that was in it was crossed out and a whole bunch of new language was put in. It's called gut and amend. Gut and amend. And so what they added to that is the most of the language of SB 799, which is the bill that has it out for Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area. And Carnegie is a off-road park. It's not very big. It's between Modesto and San Francisco. And there's the old Carnegie that's been there a long time. It's just a few square miles. And about 20 years ago, the state bought the property next to it. It's about 3 square miles. And we've been trying to get that open for off-roading. And not like an open area where you can go nuts, go anywhere. We really want to make it an area where you have to stay on the trails and you can drive around in there.
Limited use.
Limited use, yeah. That's the right term. So a neighbor of the park does not like off-roading at all. And he's a smart guy. He's a trial attorney. And his wife is the sister of a congressman. And those two do not like off-roading there. And for the last 5 years, they've been trying to get the area closed from off, like permanently closed for off-roading. From 2017, the reauthorization of the, that guy was behind some of the dirty stuff in the bill. Yep. So every year since then, they've been trying to do stuff. So they have two bills. In fact, this morning, I emailed our group and I said, can we ask the legislature to combine these bills into one so we don't have to fight two bills? And we'll see what'll happen. Bob Hamm said it's not likely. Actually said it in a little bit rougher language that I don't want to say. But so we'll see what happens. So we're going to be fighting this bill tooth and nail. 2 years ago, almost the same language bill went through the Assembly, went through the Senate, went through concurrence, went to the governor. We asked the governor to veto it, and the governor vetoed the bill, which is awesome. I can't say our group takes credit for getting the governor to veto it because state parks, a state agency, they also don't like the bill, and they asked the governor to veto it.
Gotcha.
So between all of us working together, we got it killed.
So name the bills that people should be keeping their eye out for.
AB 1512 and SB 799.
Okay.
So they'll be going to committees, and we can ask the committee to please not pass this bill through.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that. It's probably going to pass through anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bills, once if they have a decent author, they tend to just move all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that they're trying to do on that bill is they're trying to buy back the added-on area. Right.
They want to give us $9 million for it and then preserve it for not off-road vehicle use.
Yeah, which is, isn't that the amount that it was bought for 20 years ago?
I think so.
So they're
No inflation.
There's no inflation value to it whatsoever. They want to give it to us what the land was worth 20 years ago and call it good and say, oh, we're going to preserve it. And, which preserving it, that can go either way. Preserving it can be like
in the
Borrego
where
you can hike through certain areas of it, but you can't go off trail.
You're just going to shut it down. That's all.
Or are they going to completely shut it down 100% and you have no access whatsoever?
Well, they'll never close it for foot traffic. They won't close it to foot traffic, but they will close it to mechanized, motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
They will close it to us.
Amazing.
So that bill, we're going to be watching those two. We're going to be fighting them, and we'll see what happens. So our friend Brian Jones is sponsoring SB 227, and that's a neat bill. What that bill is going to do is make it so that what's called red sticker, off-road motorcycles. Those are racing motorcycles that have a little bit more emissions than the green stickers can have, will be allowed to continue to be registered and operated on public land. And there's stipulations. Now, the background behind this is the Air Resources people have decided to end the red sticker program. So up until from 1998 until this year, you could buy a racing bike, get a red sticker, and go to the places you want to go, you know, the forest, the desert, wherever, and go off-roading. So that's going to end. Starting 2022, you cannot get a red sticker for your racing bike. You can still buy a race bike in California, but you can't operate it on public land. So the hardcore racers will buy bikes anyway. They'll go racing, and then when the season ends and they sell their bikes and they buy their next year's bike, then the bikes they sell are going to be a lot harder to sell, right? Because now...
What are you going to do with it?
Because the old race bikes go to the desert.
Yeah, where are you going to take it? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. That,
so that's, and some people buy them new and they go to the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally, I saw this bill and I participated in the red sticker closing whole process. It took about 4 years for them to do that. And Audrey went with me up to the Air Resources place in El Monte, LA. Mm-hmm. We took a day off of work. We went up there and, you know, sat in the room and they told us what we're doing. And we raised our hands and asked questions. We made written comments. We think this stinks, you know. But we said it nicely, and we participated, and we lost.
Mm.
So sad. I read the bill, and I personally love dirt bikes. I love high-performance motorcycles, off-road motorcycles. And I thought, you know, this is the time. It's like now or never. If you want a good dirt bike, and I'm getting older, and I normally buy used bikes. I'm good at working on them, so I'll buy a bike, and I can rebuild it and make it nice. But there's nothing like a new motorcycle.
No, it's nothing.
You know what I mean? I mean, the old ones are good. You can do everything to it.
You know how big his garage is going to be. He's going to buy every retired race bike.
I got to rub grease on the side to get the next one in.
No, you don't. Just put it next to your bed.
Anyway, already see his living room has three.
So a week and a half ago, I bought a brand new Husqvarna 450.
You actually got a new?
Brand new from GP Motorcycles. Rolled out with 0 hours on the hour meter.
Really?
Yep.
You got more miles on it than my monkey. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is a one-hour extension that we normally do the last weekend of the month. So I like to supply SDORC with a little bit more airtime. We've been talking quite a bit about some legislation that could affect you, whether you're an off-roader or not. Especially if you love the outdoors. So continue on, my friend.
Oh, thank you. So this bill, SB 227, State Senator Brian Jones is carrying. And Brian Jones represents the east side of San Diego County. And he's a Republican. And Republicans have a little trouble making their bills move in the California legislature. There is a strong Democrat dominance up there. But Brian Jones is not your normal Republican. Even though he represents most of the normal Republican view on a variety of topics. He's also a well-liked guy. He's a respectable, honorable, nice guy.
Yep.
And he's successful. So he's carrying this bill, and so he's the primary author. But you can have what they call sponsors, people who are like co-authors of a bill. He has six co-authors. Four of them are Democrats, two are Republicans. And one of them is a Democrat, Ben Hueso, who's the state senator of Imperial County and the very southern half or the southern quarter of San Diego County. That's a big deal because in Imperial County, off-road vehicles are probably I think they're the second strongest economic group next to farming.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. So farming is huge in Imperial County, but off-road vehicles are pretty big there. So Hueso likes off-road vehicles, and allowing red stickers to continue will help their county. So I really think this bill is going to move. Now, I understand this bill has to go through four committees on each house. That's a lot. Transportation, water parks and wildlife, appropriations, and there's another one I forget. So that's kind of a tall order to get it through all those committees, but I kind of think it's going to go all the way. So last year, the same bill was introduced, and it moved pretty far through the process, but because of the COVID virus, it didn't make it all the way to the governor's desk. So he introduced the same language, and it's moving again this year. So we'll see what happens. Last year, it was amended such that the cost of it tripled, and it was amended so that
you had to get a racer's license.
So that if you were, for you to have the bike and that registration, you had to have a racing license, mm-hmm. some kind of racing license.
Yep. Which is good because we want it. I know, some people were really upset about it, but at the same time, if you have somebody that's new to the sport, that's never, you know, been it, they go out, they experience a ride, and then they, you know, they want to go all out. So they want to go get a fast bike but they don't have the education or the experience behind them, that's key to get that little bit of education. For others, I think, you know, it's good to renew your education every so often, just like you have to do with any type of industry. But I think, you know, hopefully it'll pass through. We need it to pass through. Everybody needs red stickers.
So you'll need a racing license. It's going to cost more. And they will probably go with the red sticker current seasons mm-hmm. and areas. For those of you who don't know what that means, it's all about air pollution. In areas that we like to ride, there are a little bit more polluting bikes, and they're allowed to be there in the time of year when the air pollution is not very bad. So summertime is excluded from a lot of areas
yep.
because there's more air pollution in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny why there's more in the summer? Because the asphalt on roads and roofs evaporate and goes in the air. That's a big reason why the summer air is so bad. It's not because more people are driving than before. It's mm-hmm. because of that other stuff. But they blame the vehicles. They'll blame the vehicles on that.
Of course
that.
They blame the vehicles.
Well, wait till everything goes electric and we still have the same problem.
Right?
I know, huh?
Kind of reminds you of Pismo Beach, doesn't it?
That's what we were going to end
that's
up
my
in.
Next,
yeah.
We want to talk.
We were going to wrap up
Pismo,
with that.
Oceana Dunes.
Yeah. Having the off-highway red sticker program is critical, though, for us operating, right?
Well, they tried to make it so that the dirty race bikes couldn't go anywhere anytime. And this was started in 1998, and they wanted to make it so they just can't have dirty bikes out there. And it was negotiated that, okay, we can have the dirty bikes, but they can go certain places at certain time of the year.
Yep.
And they've continued. And there was an unwritten agreement that the manufacturers would clean up their race bikes, and then they wouldn't need to have the red sticker program anymore. And kind of the opposite happened, that they didn't clean up their emissions. Although, the four strokes are cleaner than the two strokes.
Yeah, that's what I was.
And there's more four
say.
Strokes out there. But they didn't really, they haven't done things to make them cleaner. There's no catalytic converters on dirt bikes, and they have them on street bikes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And God forbid if you spill some gas on a hot catalytic converter.
Do you lose power if you put in a catalytic converter? Do you
absolutely.
Use,
yes.
So you lose your horsepower.
But
so
if you put it on
a little performance.
Bit. But if you put it on one bike, you put it on all the bikes. So everybody's equal. Yeah, you're underpowered, but your tailpipe is cleaner. But I got to say, I watched motocross yesterday, and there was a time I would watch motocross, and when they would take off, the whole place would be full of smoke. Right? Remember those
absolutely,
days?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you two see strokes. That today? No, you don't see that today.
Mm-mm.
So the two strokes are vastly dirtier than four strokes.
But they're not vastly. As dirty as they were 20, 30 years ago, I don't think.
The two strokes? So KTM, Husqvarna, GasGas, but the KTM has introduced some new technology, and they're about a third cleaner, roughly mm-hmm. about a third.
Mm-hmm.
It's called transfer port injection. So it's fuel injection, and the fuel is injected into the cylinder. They don't have a carburetor. They're cleaner.
It's almost like a diesel.
But they're not as nearly as clean as a green sticker.
As a four-stroke.
And the four-strokes are a lot cleaner. The four-strokes are not that far away from being green stickers.
But how many divisions do you see in the AMA that run two-stroke races? Other than vintage.
Well, the kids' classes, the little kids, they all have two strokes. Yeah, the 50s, 80s, 85s, and the 100s. Mm-hmm. And they have a 125 class.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the Nationals, they're going to have a 125 two-stroke class.
Gotcha.
Which is super fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But how bummed would you be if we eliminated the two-stroke classes?
Heartbroken.
Some people would be heartbroken. The kids would. The grown-ups would be okay.
They could build a four-stroke for a kid that'll do a 50cc.
Absolutely. They could.
And it's not like they can't do it. See, I'm not for eliminating something.
And they're building
all
the electric vehicles. Honda and Yamaha wouldn't they be able to do it?
So 85cc is the two-stroke kid size?
By the way, have I gotten you on a zero yet?
No, please do. I know what those are.
If you send me an email, I'll hook
you up. I don't
know
what that is.
That's a motorcycle, electric street bike.
And it started
out. They're fast. I drag raced one on a street.
Good luck.
Blew me away.
Good luck. It started out, this company, way back when, they took a mountain bike and put an electric motor in it. And I got to ride it first time, and it was a little sketchy. And then they hired Eric Buell when he lost his job at Harley-Davidson. So Eric came in because the original Zero, if you did any damage to it, everything was handmade. So you couldn't go to a bike store and buy a hub or a wheel or anything because everything was custom made. So Eric said, well, this is stupid. So let's get everything. Let's use motorcycle components so that if somebody does have to replace a part, they can go to a motorcycle shop and they get their part. So he did
smart
that.
Smart man.
And that changed Zero Motorcycles night and day.
I didn't know Eric Buell was part of mm-hmm. Zero.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of respect for Eric Buell.
I do, too. The guy's a wizard. So now there's multiple levels of, they have a dirt bike. They have a street bike. And I'm telling you, I'll definitely get you on one if you just got to send me an email. And what we'll do is have you do a review on it. You know, take it off road. And if you want one too, I can probably get both of you on because you need to ride.
She's a motorcycle rider. You know, she rides my stuff around.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. But if I got you both a Zero, take it to the desert for a weekend and then come back and then do a review on it.
I know nobody can see the smile on my face.
Wait till you ride this torque monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm here to tell you these things, like you said, they'll blow you away. I mean, they've got a lot of torque.
The maximum torque is zero.
Here's
RPM.
The kicker. You take your iPhone, you download the Zero app, and you go in and say, okay, brake regeneration max.
Okay. Yeah, so you can tune
power max. And that way, when you go into a turn, you just let off of the throttle, and the computer goes to the brakes and brings it down. So you don't have to go to your foot brake, hand brake, or nothing. The bike does the whole thing. And once you figure out that combination of what you're looking for,
that's
hang
crazy.
On.
That's fun.
That's what my Jeep does too. It's too smart for me.
Yeah.
Well, I bought a red sticker bike. I know the law's coming. So the program was going to end. I know Brian Jones has his bill. It's probably going to pass, and it's probably going to allow people to continue off-roading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking any chances.
Right.
I bought a brand new FC450.
Right.
I raced it last Sunday. I talked to you a little bit at
the
track.
Win?
No, I didn't win.
Then take it back. Tell them, hey, this thing did not get me a trophy. Give me my money.
That's a fast class. Have you ever been around, like in the middle of 20 guys in the first turn? There's dust and people are around. Wow. I was like, oh, my God.
Where am I at? What am I doing here?
This makes me nervous. But it's a good motorcycle.
You have fun on it?
Boy, is it a good bike. It does everything right.
Well, it's because you ride everything that's older than...
Well, I mean, I've ridden a lot of bikes, and this bike really works well.
It's probably one of the newest bikes you've ridden, isn't it?
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't make them much newer than that.
Hey, I'm blown away by my little monkey I have as a 2021.
It is so freaking fast.
Yeah.
I think it's faster than you. It's way better than I am. I mean... Top pros, that's what Wilson and Jason Anderson.
I know, that's what all the big boys run.
They call it the Talladega turn, the big first turn and the straightaway. I came down and lined up for that, turned it on full and held it. There was a guy in front of me. I sucked him right over, just right by him. Like, oh, my God, I'm going fast. When I hit the high revs, wow, that thing.
How high did you fly?
I don't know. We didn't have any big jumps on this track layout. The layout changes
thank
every time.
Thank goodness for that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give the show to Audrey. Got to wake a girl up on SDRC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio. Second hour, only aired once a month at the end of the month. This segment is brought to you by the good folks at John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue. John is an amazing shop owner. He's NAPA Auto Care, ASC certified, AAA approved. Your warranty is good across the United States. Works on all the import vehicles out there. Go to johnssandiegoautorepair.com. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ and thank them. All right, we got Audrey Mason and Ed Stoven in. We've been chatting. And I guess we've got some more legislation that needs to be discussed since we were doing it off air. And it
we're switching gears.
We're switching gears a little bit. I mean, yes, we were talking about it off air, too. It's one of the ones that we talk about. This is what we do. We fight to keep the deserts and trails open. And one of the ways that we do it is through legislation. Legislation turns into laws, and that's what operates. They provide operational plans for the areas that we want to visit, right? And that's how we work with. So when an area gets a lot of attention to it, just like Pismo Beach, and now they want to phase it out and close it down, that's one of the things that we want to come to now. We've been talking about legislation and bills. We've been talking about different bills that happen. What we need to talk about now is who makes those bills. Your senator, your assemblyman, and your area, and that's it. The state of California is run by your assemblyman and your state senator, and those are the people, and our governor, and those are the people that you need to contact right now. The California Coastal Commission meeting was a week and a half ago now. We talked about it. We spent an hour on it last weekend of nothing but Oceana Dunes of what happened at the California Coastal Commission meeting.
Yeah. I listened to the show on SDRC radio website. I heard the show the next day because I was not here. I was riding my dirt bike racing at Glen Helen.
Uh-huh.
So I listened and, oh, my God, it's rough. For those of you who don't know, Oceana Dunes is also known as Pismo Beach. It's an off-road vehicle area in the center of the state. It's the only beach you can drive on. And for decades, people, environmental types have been trying to get the place closed, get it reduced. 21 years ago, Friends of Oceana Dunes was started by Jim Sudi, who was on last week, and Ed Waldheim.
Yep.
They together got it going. And they've been fighting tooth and nail. For the last year and a half, they've had a lot of trouble. It started with the air pollution people, which is a state agency, and they were turning the screws on the place, claiming that the dust that was leaving and going into a neighboring housing division was toxic and that the state needs to do stuff to stop it. And the state bent over backwards and reduced the dust. They did these kind of drastic measures that hurts off-roading, but they went ahead and they did what they needed to do, and they answered the air pollution people. And then the fish and wildlife people, they came in and they said there's 10 species there that need protection. And state parks bent over backwards. They did this long document that included all kind of stipulations they do to protect these species. I mean, they really went far. And they successfully are protecting all these species over there.
They have the number one program in the state of California.
For the snowy plover, which is only about 75 of those birds left in the wild. So then what strikes me as really weird is just the timing of the Coastal Commission coming in and saying you need to renew your operating permit, because they haven't, like, this is not a scheduled, like, every so many years you need to come in and get reauthorize your operating permit. They've been operating on the same permit for decades. And all of a sudden, now the Coastal Commission is requiring a permit And State Parks is doing the Public Works Plan, which is a long document. It's involved. And they've bent over backwards again to please the Coastal Commission. And me being knowledgeable about land use and government agencies, I step back and I look at it, and it really looks like there was sort of a higher level desire to close Oceano Dunes. And it's probably brought by the environmental lobby to the governor.
Well, of course. They've been calling it silica dust the whole time. They've been going off of false narrative.
Well, yeah,
we've provided a bunch of different
solutions
for every issue that they raise, and we've provided them a reasonable, logical
Oceano
solution.
Dune has won every lawsuit.
Friends of Oceano Dunes has won every lawsuit.
I don't know if they've bat 1,000, but they've done really well.
Didn't he say last week that they've won every lawsuit that they've gone against the Coastal Commission?
I don't remember.
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I can't say for
sure. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I just did. Say that, Dave.
They have a great track record.
They do have an excellent track record.
It feels like there's a predetermined outcome for Oceano Dunes that it needs to close.
Yeah.
Now, I got an email from the Sierra Club saying we need everybody to weigh in with the Coastal Commission to have the place closed. It's a terrible thing. So I kind of think that these groups, way back when the governor was running for office, they made a deal. Look, we'll get everything we have behind you, but you need to close this place. I think that's what took place.
There's no logic. This is what makes me crazy.
The Sierra Club is nuts.
There's big money.
They have
next
a lot
door.
Of people. They have an awful lot of people that are members because they have a great social side, right? Like you can go to the Sierra Club and you can go on bike rides, you can go on hikes, you can go on camping trips, you can go kayaking, canoeing. Like they have a lot of fun things to do, and a small portion of them are very, very liberal and very politically active and motivated, and they try to screw with us. They've done lots of lawsuits. They are not afraid to sue.
The slush fund behind them is unlimited, as opposed to our minuscule. We have pennies compared to their thousands of members.
So we think that the state was just looking for an agency that could get it done. Now, state agencies operate off of legislation that created them. Right, so there's the Coastal Commission Act, or the California Coastal Act, the Air Pollution Act, the local coastal plans. California has an Endangered Species Act. So the fish and wildlife people are working on. So the air pollution and the fish and wildlife people, they took their work as far as they could, given their legislation, to try to close the place. And State Parks answered them, and so they had to go on to the next. And the Coastal Commission is more powerful. They have a lot of power. And they did what they did a week and a half ago. They said, we want to phase out all off-road vehicles on the beach. So Friends of Oceana Dunes is filing a lawsuit. And I haven't seen their brief. I'd like to read it. But I know they have a couple of angles they can go after the Coastal Commission. One is they can say, well, off-roading was taking place there before the Coastal Act was made, so we are grandfathered in.
Mm-hmm.
That's very possible, very probable. And they may look at Oceano Dunes. It's managed by legislation. It's an off-road vehicle area.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's legislation that said it's an off-road area. It should be used for off-road vehicles and has all these rules. So there are those laws going up against the Coastal Commission laws, and they're contradicting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Friends of Oceana Dunes is going to do is say, have a judge look at these. We think that these rules are just, or this law is just as important as this law. We think this law is trying to step on top of this one, and it doesn't have jurisdiction there.
Right.
And I think that law, or that argument in the lawsuit is going to carry a lot of weight. And I think it's going to, like Jim said, it may go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Which is fine.
Which is great for us.
Yeah.
If they wake up.
All the Trump appointees, all the Republican appointees on the Supreme Court, I think we may have a chance
Well, so, they might listen to that one. They don't listen to any of the other ones, but they might listen to that one.
And this may sound a little dark, but I think in the biggest picture, the Supreme Court is going to look at the laws and they're going to say, okay, you're right. Oceana Dunes should be opened. The Coastal Commission overstepped their authority. And then I think in the next couple of years that the state assembly and the state senate, the state legislature, will pass a law that says the Coastal Commission has more authority. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come around. I think eventually, I don't see how we can save it over the next 5 or 10 years. I think
because they're not going to give up.
No, they won't give up.
No,
they got their.
Unless it goes to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court.
Well, the Supreme Court.
That's where.
But the Supreme Court is going to be looking at state laws. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, okay, these state laws need to be interpreted this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and they may
I think
kick
it's going to come to our.
And they may just kick it back to the states and said, "This isn't a Supreme Court issue. This is a state issue. You guys need to resolve it."
It's very possible.
I see.
I think Friends of Oceana Dunes is going to win, and then I think the state is going to make additional legislation that makes it so they can't win.
Right.
That's what I think.
I don't know.
There.
No, that's because they have a game plan. They have a game plan.
You want to talk about that, Bill?
I don't know, but legislation to make it happen looks like it's already coming in.
There's another bill.
There's another bill that's in our thing that we're keeping an eye on. In our quiver that we're keeping an eye on. That I don't know. The verbiage in it and the language in it, it's like it's set up purposely to be used to come back around so that they can say, even though that this bill says that it's for environmental equity and outdoor access act to ensure that all Californians and visitors of the state feel welcome in the outdoors. And that's literally what it says in this act. I truly don't feel that's right. The way that's going to play out.
Well, hey, kids, just like you said before the show, we don't have enough for 2 hours. We're not going to be able to talk
all the
for
more
two
reason
hours.
Become a member of SDORC. We've got so much in our back
Absolutely.
Pockets that we're working on. It's not even funny.
All right, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.